Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Rod Chalk.
Well, I am blessed to be a grandfather, to be in my language, to be a poppy, okay, because that's what we say in Newfoundland in there, and that's who I am. So one of my grandsons came up to me this morning, and he was so excited. I have something for you, poppy, in there, and he looks at me, and he was so, you could see the pride in his eyes that he was about to give me this picture. And he walks up and he says, "It's a tiger stripe." I'm like, that might be the best thing I've gotten in a while. That was so awesome. I'm like, the imagination, right, in there. It's basically, for those of you who can't see, it is a red mark on the line paper, just a mark straight down. But to him, it was like, it's a tiger stripe, you know, and the imagination within there. But I am so very blessed to be the father of four children, to have five grandkids. And what I want to do today is I just want to talk to you for a little while. I want to share with you maybe more than even preaching or teaching in this, to share with you a little bit to be a dad in the room. Is that okay? And to walk this. One of the things that is so precious, again, this is a gift to me, right? This is precious to me. And one of my sons walked up to me this morning, happy Father's Day, and gave me something. And I didn't know that you could get these things outside of Christmas, because I always get one during Christmas in there. But it's my favorite kind of chocolate. It's those orange. I think I probably like it more because I get to throw it at things. You know, to those of you that don't know, you got to throw it. You can't just sit there and try to, like, put it, you know, it's one of those. There's some of you are looking at me so confused right now. It is one of those orange chocolates that come, okay, I'll open it up, come in the package like this, okay, in there. Some of you are like, I've never seen this before. Well, it's all together, but it's in little pieces when you're done that look like orange slices, okay, in there, but you have to break it. Anyway, some of you, I'll just leave that one alone because that didn't work. So some of you are like, I don't know, but go to the store and find one. It's a lot of fun, okay. But my son took the effort, and he knows that I love it, and better put this over here or else this might be on my mind to have a snack, okay, in there. But I want to talk to the dads, and I want to talk in generals as well, the sense of that many of us, all of us should be able to receive this morning a word from this. I believe that in the world that we live in right now, that the Father heart of God is beginning to be revealed again. Do you understand what I mean? If there was a season in probably in the early, late 70s, early 80s, maybe even mid 80s in there, where the Father heart of God was beginning to be revealed, that we were understanding who God the Father is. And to me, an understanding, a proper understanding of who God the Father is something that sets us on, propels us forward in life. And even so, even then, the opposite is true as well, where inappropriate or a misunderstanding, shall we say, of who God the Father is also propels us into a negative result in there. That if all you've ever grown up to know, for example, of God the Father is that he is just ready, waiting for you to make a mistake so he can smash you, then really you're going to live your life in fear continuously, and you're probably not going to adventure out too much out from the lines because dare you make a mistake in this. But that's not who my God is. Come on now, right? That is not who my God is. My God is one that I know that I have sat with. I sit with my God. I talk with my God. He talks to me. And I know that outside of these circles, sometimes even you might hear that and go, that sounds a little bit strange. To us, obviously it doesn't in here. But do you understand what I'm saying? My God is not far away. He's not someone that just said, well, good luck, Rod. I hope it all works out. Okay. That's not who my God is. My God is intimately known by me, and I am known to him. There is this sense of that begins to change how we view things. That when we, as even as fathers, I want to talk to you about powerful gifts today. And here's what I want to do. One of the things I think that right now is that fatherhood, I could say that this way, fatherhood is being beaten up all the time. Everywhere you look, really, if you look on media, anything, watch movies, whatnot, most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, fathers are being portrayed as morons or as those that, really, they don't got it together, or there's something wrong, or there's this sense of disrespect almost for the position of a father. And yet, I tell you this, that we need more fathers today than ever before, amen? Come on now, in this life that we live in, I'm not talking about just the fact of saying then go and have more kids. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that you can be a father to somebody. You can be a transformational moment to somebody. To me, I talked about the fact of receiving those gifts this morning. I want to take you down a journey with me this morning, but I need you to think about something ahead of time. I need you to promise me something ahead of time. What often happens within Father's Day and different things, I want to challenge the dads in the room today, but I want to do it in a way that is certainly not going to take you down the road of going, well, I guess I'm terrible at that. Come on now, you know what I mean? The enemy's going to want to come along and go, well, if you only knew. I mean, my failures, they have disregarded me from that. I want you to understand, dads, if you're in the room, that failure is not something that causes you to stop being a father. I need you to hear this, that if you're not perfect, welcome to the club. Any non-perfect fathers in the room? Come on now. Anybody really messed up with their kids before? Come on now. I have done those things. I remember when my kids were little and Josh, all our kids were different. I have enjoyed, I loved raising our kids. But all our kids are so very different. But I thought that they were all going to be the same. I thought if you did the same thing for the first one, all the rest of them would just be the same way. So you simply apply the same things to every child, and it works out fantastic and great. Anybody had that happen? No. And so I was applying one day what I would have applied to my oldest son and my second son, who you may know in a little bit different way, but when Josh was little, he had a quivering lip, okay, in there. So I would sit there and I walked in one day and he was doing something and I went, Joshua. And just that's all I got out was Joshua. And the lip started to quiver and he started to melt. He crawled in under his bunk bed, got underneath the sheets, and I went, oh, I'm such a bad dad. And I'm looking, going, what's going on? And I turned over to Karen. I remember going, I think I broke Josh. What did I do? You know, and this is the, I just say that to Sam, and he does what I'm told, what I tell him to do. I said the same thing to Josh, and he melted. It's like, what happened in the midst of this? And so I had to go back to Josh, and he's sitting underneath his little bunk bed, and I had to sit there and say to him, I'm so sorry, buddy. Daddy talked in a way that really wasn't right, and I had to explain to him, and I asked him to forgive me, and I went on a journey of learning how to parent in a brand new way, right? And in the midst of this, and then, you know, and then everyone that came after that was different again. There is no book. Dads, there is no book. There just isn't. Sometimes they'll tell you, here, read this book, this book, this book. There's 42 books on fatherhood. There are apparently thousands of different children, okay, in the midst of this, of the way things have to function. But I'm going to give you three things today that always, always, always work. And if we, even as a body of Christ, if we could adapt these three things, and if we could function in these three things, they become foundational in our lives. They become something that's not just because we're on Father's Day. They become something that are always, and they always function. They function whether or not they're with your kids, or whether they're someone else's kids, or whether you're in Sunday school, or whether wherever you are, whether you're amongst each other, these things just work. And they are gifts. They are gifts. I was blessed this morning, again, by the gifts that I received from my grandkids, from my kids, blessed in this way. But I need you to understand that really, to me, that I if we go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, and it says this, okay? You maybe know this passage. It is a familiar passage. So if you sinful people, and you might go, who's he talking to? Well, you know that's all of us, right? Okay, in there. You know how to give good gifts to your children, right? We know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? And so this is the question or the thing that I would say to you. Dads, how many of you, now no matter whether your children are grown now, by the way, you never stop being a father. Just because even when they get their own kids, you never stop being a father. If you are 80 years old and your sons and daughters are, you know, whatever age they are, you never stop being a dad. Never. It's just not in that. And even if your children, for example, God forbid in this, but that some have gone through difficulties and they've seen their children to pass away before they did, you are still a father in those moments. We have opportunity to do this and to father in this way every day, everywhere we go. So here, allow me in the morning to challenge you this morning with three foundational gifts from fathers to children. The first one is this. And I know it's kind of a repeat. I don't know how to repeat part of last Sunday. I just want to reiterate what Pastor Jay was saying. If you weren't here, get last week's sermon. And I would encourage you even to watch it, not just listen to it, but if you can, to watch it, and it will bless you. But the first one is this, is my gift to my children is unconditional love. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 and 19, it says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend all that the saints, what is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It was my responsibility as a dad to teach my kids about the love of God through the demonstration of love that I gave them. Does that make sense to you? So in this, let me give you this. If you want to be a good dad, I mean, this is kind of a, don't put up your hands in this, because obviously all of us, we want to be good dads. We want to be good fathers. This is the greatest thing you can do to be a good dad. Be a good son. Learn how to be a son. Because in the moments of learning how to be a son, you understand what is needed to be a father. Because when we turn around and we go, as a son, I know that I need my dad to come along every once in a while and say, good job, boy. You know, in our Newfoundland culture, we have a sense that I can turn to my dad and I can say, me son. And for some reason, that's okay. And he can turn around, yes, bye. You know, and we turn around and we have just nod to each other or whatever it would be. But my dad, I can remember when I'm in Bible school. And again, my dad gave me what he had to give me as he was growing up. But my dad, I can remember going off to school and my dad starts tearing up. And I'm like, okay, I remember my dad crying sometimes, but not like, you know, in this, he starts tearing up and he grabs a hold of me and he tells me that he loves me. And I'm like, yeah, okay, no. And he grabs a hold of me even more and is like, no, I need you to know, I love you. And then he had to disappear somewhere, okay, in there at that moment. But I can remember him telling me, looking me face, making sure my eyes were connected with him to tell me that he loves me. See, this is essential with our children. My kids, when my kids were born, I declared that they will get bored of how many times I'm gonna tell them that I love them. It is going to be so frequent and so often that it might even turn embarrassing. Because they need to know that that's my language to them. But how do I experience this? I experience, listen to me, as people that in the body of Christ, we need to absorb the Father's love. You got to do it. You have to spend time with the Father. You have to receive. And one of the things that happens, I don't know about you, but when I fail or when I feel like I've messed up, that unfortunately my nature sometimes can push me away from the Father's love. Anybody else like that? You turn around and instead of running towards the Father's love because you know it's embrace, sometimes you begin to hide. And if you're not careful, the hiding becomes a habit. And if you're really not careful, then you can't remember the last time you habitated with the Father. And it's this sense of realizing that no matter how well I'm doing, my Father always wants to spend time with me. Always. It doesn't matter. I know that when I began to struggle with panic attacks, and I began to struggle with these things, and they were very obvious. If you've ever seen someone that has a panic attack, that all of a sudden it makes no sense. There's no rhyme or reason. I always found it comical when someone would say to me when they'd see me have a panic attack, and they'd look at me and go, "What is it that you have to be afraid of?" And there was a sense of confusion on them because they'd never experienced them before. And I would tell them, "I am not afraid of anything in this moment. I can't fully explain it to you, but there is a panic. There is a something that is outside of the norm. I know it's not true." Pastor Jay and I were going one day underneath the tunnel, and I was driving along, and he looked at me just before we went through the tunnel, and apparently I turned 3 shades of white, which I didn't know there was, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I lost all my color, and he looks at me, and he goes, "Are you okay?" I'm going, "I will be." I hadn't even thought about the fact. Was I afraid to go under the tunnel? Was I thinking something was going to happen? Was I afraid someone was going to blow it up? No! There was no thoughts in my head at that moment, but all of a sudden, I knew how ridiculous it was and how embarrassed I was because of it. This mighty man of God, prophet, having experienced these things. And I began to retreat from the Father's love because I thought he was ashamed of me. I have wrote courses on this. I have preached, I have taught on the Father's love before. But the lies of the enemy come along and they begin to remind you, and they take things that are even sometimes like these things. They were out of your control. And sometimes it is failures that I know that were in my control and that I made mistakes, but the enemy likes to take them from a 0.2 and make them a 17 and a half out of 10. Come on now, you know what I'm saying. He wants to make them so huge that you don't deserve, you feel as though you don't deserve to be even in the Father's presence. And one of the things that we've got to do as fathers is to be able to say to even our own children that they recognize that I have been there, I have walked through these things, and I am determined to spend time in the Father's love. I am determined because the more I know of the Father's love, the more I can share the Father's love with everybody else, right? And it doesn't matter whether or not you're a dad here, you're a mom, male, female, whatever. It doesn't matter in this, that the more time we spend with the Father and the more time we look fear dead in the face, the more time we spend and go, "You know what? This is a lie." Feels like a lot of truth right now, but it's a lie of the enemy. Do you know what I'm talking about? Lies that are so close that they feel like truth. You know, sometimes you can sit there and go, someone can say to me, "Well, I think that's a lie you're believing." And you can look at it, you can see it, obviously. Well, I mean, God does love everybody, right? Duh. Okay, it's obviously a lie. But then there are these ones that are so close because you're dealing with these things. But in the Father's journey with me, there is nothing that I can do to push me out of the ability to be extravagantly loved. It's hard when you don't feel like at times you deserve to be extravagantly loved. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you might go, "Well, I deserve because of Christ, and I know that I am loved," and you can go through all the mental hoops. But that sense of being extravagantly loved, the sense of all of a sudden God showing up and going, and you're like, "Why did you do that, Father? This is amazing." That kind of love. Can we do something together right now? Can we reposition the way we see our Father to the expectation that he wants to bless us with his love extravagantly? Amen? This will begin to change those that are around you. It begins, if you can teach this, dads, if you can teach these lessons, if you can show these things to your children, and how you show them is this. You show them because your love never fails. Now, I want you to understand something. This has got really messed up, really confused in the world that we live in. People have tried to make love and approval the same thing. They're not, okay, in there. That I can not approve of your choices, Okay? And I'm not talking about putting shame and guilt on someone. That's a total different thing. But I cannot like your choices and still love you. And that's where we got a little bit messed up, that I have to love everything, or I have to like everything, or I have to basically be okay with everything because that's what the Father's love is. Do you know that God can love us so much so that he gives us the ability to choose whether we accept Jesus and live for him or whether we don't? In other words, he gives us the ability to choose whether, even as Claude was talking about this morning, whether it's an eternity with him or eternity without him. He still loves every single one of us equally. Every one of us equally. But there is, for me, there is an understanding that I don't have to like what all of my kids are doing, but they have to know that I love them. They have to feel, not just know, like, yeah, I know, Dad. No, they have to feel my embrace. They have to know that I'm okay with them. They have to know that I will do everything possible to move all of these walls that have now all of a sudden come before us. I will love you and 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 love you. And in fact, my kind of love, or the Father's kind of love, is a pursuing love. It's not a, if you happen to be around, I'll love you. No, it is a love that goes and finds them and pursues them and sees the best in them. I'm getting ahead of myself in this. But this is what this is the first part that I would say. We could go all through all this, but he did a great job of this last week. But as dads, it's a matter of that we need to ooze love. Come on. And I'm not talking about, remember now, I love you because you're making really good choices like I would make. Come on now. You did the dishes the way I would have done them. Not what I would have done them. Sorry, I just repent of that moment. I can't stand doing dishes. Okay, so I needed to be honest, okay, in this. But listen, you did this the way I did it. You did this the way I did it. You did this. Look at how much he's like me. She's like me. Do you know, and I'm going to hopefully not offend you too badly, do you know that your children were not given to you as clay for you to mold? They were not given to you as blank canvases for you to create? This moves us into the next thing of why you're there, Dad. And this may sound strange to you, may even not even seem spiritual, but one of the greatest gifts you can give your kids is opportunities. Without opportunities, they cannot grow. They need opportunities. And I'm not talking about, again, opportunities to do it the way you would do it. Opportunities to learn the way that they're going to do it, so that they can begin to with God the Father, because God is the one that begins to paint on their canvas. God is the one, the Father is the one that molds their clay, but you are there to give them help in these moments. You are there to give them opportunities to either fail or to succeed. But opportunities are essential. I think it's one of the biggest things that is lacking right now that I see, that most kids don't get the opportunities. They don't get opportunities. They're simply, dad's so busy with everything else that there's no opportunities to take them out and begin to say, so let's go ahead and try something. Let's do something. And I'm not talking about, again, if you think that you're supposed to teach them how to do everything specifically your way, you will be frustrated. Anybody been there? You will be frustrated. Did you know that kids don't do it right the first time? Or the 23rd time? And you're just looking at it going, I could have done this 4 days ago. And we're still sitting here trying to figure this out. But those moments, see, when they still feel the fact that you're not going, they're not going like that to them of going, they're doing it wrong, you're doing it wrong, you're doing it wrong. It's a matter of, yes, you want, but when you show them the love, they will approach you in a way that says, Dad, show me how to do this. And when you're done showing them how to do this, I guarantee it, they will do it differently. Come on now, right? Because they're not you. But if you can just give them opportunities to explore, give them opportunities to learn, give them opportunities, because, and this is something that has to be done as a choice. It's a matter of even saying to your kids, hey, we're going to go and we're going to do this today. And you get it right, you get it right, you get it wrong, you get it wrong. but there are opportunities. I remember when I have a very good friend of mine, Ray, and his dad taught him a lot of different things. My dad taught me a lot of stuff, but he did not teach me how to tie knots, okay, in there. That was not, and maybe he did know how to tie them, but we never got around to the subject. And I remember going camping with Ray. And Ray's one of those guys that he had his tent up in 3.4 seconds. I was still turned, mine was upside down for some reason. And it was on the sideways and I was trying to figure it out. He had every rope tied. He had them tied so that at the end you just went and it came apart. And mine, you had to cut it because it was just like I'm talking about. But I didn't know any of these things. But do you know that Rafe gave me some? Now again, my dad gave me a lot of things, right? But Ray took the time to show me how. This is someone who's equal, someone who's my age. We just graduated together, Bible school. And he's taken the time, because here's the deal. I could have went, you think you are telling me I know how to tie? It's just a stupid knot. But I positioned myself with him as a son. And then he gave me the opportunity to learn something. I can tie this knot now. It's really the cool knot. Half the time, I wonder if I can anymore because it's been so long that I've done it. But I learned these things. Was Ray my dad? No. But in those moments, he took the time like a father to give me the opportunity to learn something. But I can tell you right now what Ray could have done the whole time. He could have done all of those knots, put up all those. He could have put the whole campground's tents up, okay, before the fact that I got it figured out. But he took the time. See, Ray also, when I was, we were in a place where, if you've ever remember in the 1990, 91, 92, we had that crash in the economy. And we were in a situation where I basically, long story short, I didn't have a job and it was getting pretty desperate. We were going to have to leave the area. And Ray turns around to me and says this to me. He says, Rod, because he had a company at that time building houses. He says, come work for me. I'm like, I don't think so. I would like to keep our friendship. He's like, no, come work for me. Do you remember who you're talking to? Okay, in this, because I can do a lot of things. And at that time, you might look at me now and go, but you can build, you can do these things. At that time, I couldn't do a thing, okay? I'd pick up a skill saw, and I'm telling you, I would do it, and I'd be afraid of it the whole time. You start it up, and I'm afraid I was going to lose legs and arms and everything else. Ray's up on the second level of a house, and he's running back and forth across the second floor on 2x4s that are not apparently 4 inches wide at the time that I learned, okay, in this. And all of these things that are going on, you're doing these measuring, you pull out these measuring tapes, and they didn't say, it's like 42 and 7/8. Rod, cut it at 42 and 7/8. Holy Spirit, just what is this? You know, in there, it's just, I didn't know at those times enough. And they didn't sit there on the little things. Now you have them. Now you look at a brand new one, okay, and for some reason, now it has 6/7/8 in it. It has all this stuff in it and whatnot. All they had was lines. And some of the lines were shorter than the other. You're like, what in the world's going on in this? But Ray took the time with me. He taught me a lot of these things. See, my dad taught me so many things, and one of the things that my father taught me is how to bring security to his family. There was something that would happen every time Dad would get home. I won't tell you the whole thing, okay, in there. But Dad would come home, yes, and he would have a lunchbox. I would be almost, I'd be in and out of sleep, and sometimes it was difficult, so you'd be wondering, and if you were nervous, you're scared. But when Dad put that lunchbox down outside of my room and I heard the clang, if I was up and I was just not able to sleep within seconds, I was off to sleep because Dad was in the house. You see, there were things that I saw that my dad gave up because he worked and worked and worked because he wanted to supply for us as a family. Let me tell you this, opportunities with your kids is an incredible thing. The last thing is this, and our time is flying this morning. The third thing is this, and you might say this is an impossibility, but I don't believe so. I believe it is possible in Christ, but to have an unoffended heart. So the first one was this, to demonstrate the gift of an unconditional love. The second one is to demonstrate a gift of giving opportunities for your children to explore. The third thing is to demonstrate an unoffended heart. There is nothing like an offended orphan to demonstrate what the father should not be like. Your offended heart will pollute your children's heart at any age. Did you know that? Doesn't matter how old. And again, you say, oh, well, Pastor, I thought we were talking about good things here, you know, in this. Thought I was, you know, I don't want to feel like this. But listen, if I start functioning again like an orphan, in other words, one that doesn't have a home, or I start, another word might be the fact of insecurity, it will pollute my children's heart. It's something that I am choosing to not walk in insecurity, not because I want to be better on myself, but because I recognize how damaging that is to everybody that's around me. Come on now, right? This is something that I want to walk in. So listen, I'll give you these things. I want to have an unoffended heart with God. I want to have an unoffended heart with my family. I don't want to have it so that I have an issue with members of my family and so that I walk around offended with person. Do you not think your kids get that? You know what I'm talking about? Is the fact that you could tell who you're offended with. Your kids could probably, and I say my kids, could probably write a list of who I liked and who I didn't like, and I never said a thing. Come on now. You're all looking at me like, I don't know who you're talking about. It wasn't me. This is what happens in the midst of this. But we need to work on the fact of our unoffended heart with family. We need to have an unoffended heart with bosses. Our language as dads are so important that when we come home and that dumb boss, you wouldn't believe what. And all of a sudden, what do our kids hear in the midst of this? And what do they learn? And what do they adapt? But it's in those moments that we need to be able to go, no, I choose to not be offended with this boss because I don't want to shape my children like that. Amen? I don't want them to hear this from my lips, and whether or not even something you might not think is even possible, but being offended with your own children. When your children don't make the choices you think they should make, or when, for example, they may be just pushing every button possible. Maybe you don't have a kid like this, but if you had a kid that he would just, or she would just invent buttons. You're like, some of you looked strange at me, so you maybe didn't have one of them. That's pretty good. We had a couple of them, and they just would like, they would be like, okay, we ran out of buttons, let's make some new ones for dad, okay, in this. And it wasn't their fault. Okay, in this was me. This was my issue. This was me that had to deal with this. But I realized in a journey that I could become offended with my own children because they didn't take the choices and they didn't take the information that I gave them to heart and change. You're like, Pastor Rod, that sounds really bad. I can't believe you did that. I know, I can't believe I did it either. But I walked into a journey of going, God, I need to repent of this. And I need to ask you to forgive me because this is my problem, not theirs. And I began to walk in a sense of repentance to seeing God begin to change my heart. Let me just close with this. How do we conquer an offended heart? And there's two things that we live by as fathers and really as mothers and those in the body of Christ. If you're going to write them down, these are two things. Forgiveness is one. An expectation is another. The greatest thing is, dads, that you can do for your kids is demonstrate the act of forgiveness, the action of forgiveness. Forgiveness is an action, but to demonstrate forgiveness without the need for change. Did you hear that last part? If we could only get this down, to demonstrate forgiveness without the need of seeing that person change. Now again, if you've been through abuse, if you've been through difficult things, I'm not talking about the fact of I can forgive someone and they do not have a right to come back into my life and cause chaos. You understand what I'm saying? There's a difference here. But in this scenario, it's demonstrating a life that lives and demonstrates forgiveness. Because if they can get my kids to understand this, that forgiveness sets you free. Change sets the other person free. Right? Forgiveness sets me free. change, which is their responsibility, sets them free. The second one here is expectation. Fathers believe the best when the worst is right in front of them. Ever been there? Okay, you're like, I cannot believe she did that. I cannot believe he did that, okay, in this. But in those moments, it is believing the best about our kids. And it's keeping our love on. As parents, as dads, a book that I would absolutely recommend you to read is Keep Your Love On by Danny Silk. If you have not read it yet, it is transformative. I mean, we say that a lot at different times, but this was one of the key things that helped me to walk through so many things. And this idea and this understanding of keeping your love on in every situation. Well, would you stand with me this morning? I wanna just speak one more last thing. Dads, your jobs aren't done. And I'm gonna declare something over you. You have a good voice that your children want to hear. Come on now, you gotta hear that. You have a good voice that your children want to hear. I'm even gonna take it even farther, that as you transition and as we begin to change and as we begin to become more like Christ, you have a healthy voice that your children want to hear. You have a place in their lives that nobody else can have. Do you hear me? Nobody else can have that place. I still need my dad to come along to open up the fence over there and go, my son, what are you doing today? And just put his hand on me and says, boy, that's pretty good over there. And my soul goes, I need someone just to simply walk by sometimes and go, I had it happen today. Bruce walked over and he's like, I think you're amazing. I think you're good. He had different words, but that's the words that I heard. He walked up to me on a Wednesday night afterwards and says, I'm so glad you're one of my pastors. See, that's fathering in that moment. Come on now, right? That's what that is. That's not looking at someone condescendingly. That's fathering in that moment. And so here's what I want you to do is bow your heads with me, and I want you to receive this challenge. That I will begin to father again. You might say, well, what do you mean? I didn't have a choice to stop. We can be present and not father because of frustration, because of guilt, because of shame, because of all of these other things. But that we choose right now to walk away from all the lies of the enemies that are screaming and yelling us, saying that our voice doesn't matter. Nobody wants to hear what you have to say. And we say, no, 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 that is an insecure orphan way of thinking. That I am secure with my Heavenly Father. I am loved by Him. Therefore, I can love well. And I declare that we will be fathers in this house, that when we see someone who looks like they just need encouragement, that we will walk up to them in whatever way you have made us to be. We are all so very different in how we do this, but that we will live a life of spending our words in encouragement, spending our words in life-affirming choices, spending our words teaching our kids over and over and over and over again how much we love them. So God, here we are. You said to me almost a year ago, one day I was sitting there and the Lord said to me this. He said, Rod, what have you brought me today? It took me off guard. I was like, what do you mean? And I go, Lord, I'm a bit of a mess right now and I don't have much to bring you. And within seconds, he went, I'll take it. And I stood there and he took my mess, received it as an offering unto him, and he loved me anyways. I want you to receive that today. That as we offer him, dads, our imperfections, our failures, our mistakes, and we say, here am I, Lord. Use me in whatever way you want. Here am I. Use me, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.